The great thing about Coast to Coast, the great thing is I get to talk to you. With the discovery of gravity waves, are we one step closer to understanding how another race would visit this planet? Not from one planet, from thousands of planets all around the universe. These are exciting times that we live in right now. And I do. I want to hear from you. Have you seen anything recently? I want to know what part of the country, what is going on in the sky, anything going on in your bedroom. You know about my experience. I had a visitation about 20 years ago. It was right there at the foot of my bed, blinking at me. I want to talk to you. Why? Listen to this. A retired carpenter in Ireland now claims that a stroll home from his neighborhood pub turned into an extraterrestrial encounter when he was abducted by aliens who told him when and how the world would end. Jerry Battles says that the incident occurred on December 26th, 2001, as he was walking home from the Seven Sisters pub. As he was admiring the stars, he noticed one particularly odd light, like, emerge, came from the sky. And then he suddenly found himself aboard an alien spacecraft. You can read about the entire encounter right now over at Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. I want to thank Walter Cruttenden for an absolutely fascinating conversation tonight. I'm sitting in for George Norrie. He's away. He'll be back on Monday, and this is Coast to Coast AM. More of your calls when I come back. Stay there. Welcome back. Coast to Coast AM. Like I said, the studio is Doc. Twitter is live to my left, at J Church Radio. Any questions, any comments, I read everything. Every break, I'm over there watching. It is in real time at J Church Radio. And that's it. I want to know. What have you experienced? Do you think E.T. right now is riding that gravity wave like the Silver Surfer to here? And certainly, if the gravity waves do exist, as have been proven, then wouldn't we in turn want to do the same thing and go there? Absolutely. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Don, first-time caller in Wisconsin, Windpoint, Wisconsin. Don, welcome to Coast AM.
Thanks. Good morning. This is kind of in the same vein when we were talking with Walter. Is recently some famous scientists and mathematicians have found computer code embedded in the mathematics that they're using to explain string theory.
Okay.
And I was wondering that if not all of what we call paranormal could all be just a game. We're in this matrix and we're on some kid's desk somewhere. And he's just playing games with us.
Well, why not? Why not? It's ones and zeros, right? On and off. It's kind of a scary thought, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think it explains a lot of things.
Well, Don, but let me ask you this. What would be the difference between what you think is reality now and living on a computer chip? What would be the difference? It would be the same thing, wouldn't it? You wouldn't know the difference.
Well, I think it would come down to people's beliefs and how they would change if it would be proven so.
Well, okay. Don, this is an excellent phone call, and thank you for this. And just stay with me.
Sure.
Artificial reality, a game. Let's pick something out. Call of Duty, Halo, pick a game, God of War, whatever. It doesn't matter. Artificial reality is getting so good, and those games are enable you to get immersed and into it, right? And you're right there. Well, if DARPA is working on this now, this is what they want to do. What they want to be able to do is convert the communication in your brain, right, to a computer. And get the interface going that would understand you and convert that into a language that a computer would understand. And we are right on the brink. We are on the edge of the cliff looking over right now at that technology. We are about to take the leap. So if we go into that concept, the ability to take you, your consciousness, you, Don, your very self, and download it onto a USB drive, if you will. And now you are, everything that is you is there. Now, why would you want to be able to do that? There's a lot of applications. But if you were able to take you and plug you into an artificial reality like Halo, or, you know, I'm not saying Halo like a game. I'm saying that the environment of an artificial reality where you would get up every day, go to work, go drive a car, go buy a car, go food shopping, do all of the things that you would normally do, but inside of a game, then how would that be applied to something that we could take advantage of?
Immortal. You know.
There you go. And why would that be important? If we built a spaceship, you know, some kind of star cruiser, some kind of starship, or a rover, you know, something to go to another planet and observe it, right? No food, no oxygen, no water, no bathrooms, no beds, nothing. Everybody would be living inside of an artificial reality, and that you could control the ship, and therefore you could last forever. Now, if we are thinking in that concept right now, you and I, well, and a couple of million other people right now, and you and I are talking about this, wouldn't E.T. talk about that too? Wouldn't E.T. need to do the exact same thing to get here? And then after they get here, they grow a clone, and then they put the consciousness into the clone that is grown, and that is what walks out of the ship. And we would turn around and do the same thing if we were going in the other direction. So what would be the difference of reality versus non-reality? You know, it's one and the same thing, really. It's all ones and zeros.
Yeah, but I think the spark of living in life is knowing that it is not finite and that you have to do what you need to do in a finite amount of time.
You're absolutely right. That's the challenge, right? That's the challenge. Right. So let's get it done and be the best that we can while we are here. Absolutely.
Exactly. That's the name of the game, I believe.
And today, right now, on Earth, right now, Don, somebody is alive right now that is going to live to the age of 200. Right now. And that's an interesting way to look at it. As we advance and learn and get better and, you know, medicine and vitamins and health and what to eat and what to do and how to live, we're going to grow to be older and older, you know, and we'll get better and better and more mature and more smarter and a little faster and a little quicker and a little more mature and a little more conscious.
And a little more caring, hopefully.
That's what I'm talking about. That's why I say conscious. Don, fascinating phone call. And that's why you call Coast to Coast AM overnight. Thank you so much. Great phone call. Thank you, Don. Let's go to east of the Rockies. Let's go to Moses, all the way out in Tallahassee, Florida. Moses, welcome to Coast to Coast AM.
Yes, good morning, Jamie. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Moses. How are you?
Thank God for life.
Yeah, right? Great phone calls tonight. Great conversation with Walter.
Yes, yes. So, I've been listening to Coast since 94.
Me too.
I have learned so much information, and I have been on the search for what is life, who is God, and what is life, you know. And again, life is the Creator's greatest gift, first and foremost. I guess in pursuit of truth, I've been led to see that most information really goes back to Egypt.
It does, doesn't it? Yes.
The word the Sumerians and the Anunnakis and Anu with Enki and Enlil, Anu comes from Anubis, the first son of Osiris and Set's wife Nephthys. So again, there were four beings that Ezekiel saw. He saw the one that had the face of a lion, which is a female, a lioness. Her name is Sekhmet.
Yep.
And her husband's name was Ptah. He did not wear an animal attributal mask. His name is Ptah. They were husband and wife.
That's right.
and the one that had the face of an oxen, a bull, that's it. His name is Atun-Ra. And the one that had the face of a falcon, the Bible says eagle, but Sumerians took on the face of an eagle.
That's right.
The Egyptian bird of prey is the falcon, which goes back to Horus, Osiris, and Ra. It has the same symbol of the falcon. And plus, it's the early morning prayer of praying to the east. It's the Atun-Ra, the falcon, is the symbol.
And you know what's fat? Let me ask you a question, Moses.
Yes.
Did you read books 30, 40 years ago on this subject?
No.
Exactly. And isn't it fascinating how you can listen to Coast, myself, or a guest over the years, and then what do? You take the information, you listen, you hit the internet, you go out, and you investigate and read in a quest for truth and knowledge. And isn't it fascinating how the entire world right now has that access to knowledge? And now you can sit here and speak to me about not only the Anunnaki and Sumerian tablets and Mesopotamia and the knowledge and the cradle of civilization and all of this with an intelligence and a background, and you know what you're talking about. Isn't it amazing?
Well, thank you so very much, Jamie. Again, the quest, again, for my out of the five major religions, be it Hinduism, Buddhism, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, the Holy Bible, even though all things written by man has been tampered with, it has a lot of information that Emmanuel, Yahshua, falsely called Jesus, Jesus, said these things you can do in greater works because you don't have the knowledge of how to tap into your higher self.
I know, right? And Moses, this is why. Thank you for that, by the way. Let me tell you why. Back in, let's go to 3000 BC. No internet, no television, no big screen TVs, no cell phones, no iPads, nothing. No magazines, nothing to just, no television, no friends, no Seinfeld, nothing, right?
Right.
You know what you had? You know what your big screen TV was? You know what your Saturday evening at the movies was? Self. Discovering yourself, your consciousness.
Okay, true, so true.
You know, and that's what they did. And they knew something and they figured out stuff. Now, we've gotten disconnected from that. I think today we are starting to recognize global consciousness and what that really means and the improvement of self. But we lost track of that. If we look at what Earth is right now in modern humanity, 2,000 years, let's go with that. Let's start with zero to now, 2016. Man is like 25 years old. So, you know, we're starting to mature. We went from being crazy kids and reckless, you know, with the things that you do when you're 16 years old. You know, you go out and party and wreck your parents' car.
True.
And we've gone through that. And now today we're starting to recognize the importance of planet Earth and Mother Earth and us and what it means to get along and get together. In other words, we're like young adults that maybe are thinking about getting married and settling down and having a family and thinking, you know, there's more importance to life than partying.
True.
And I think that's where we are right now. I think we're getting back to that and we're starting to figure out things. And we're not as ridiculous as we were for the last 200-300 years where we kind of spun out of control.
I agree with you 100%. But, Jimmy, again, some of the truth in the scripture, I feel, Emmanuel, again, he was prophesied to be called an El of the Elohim. That's his holy name, just like Jacob's name was changed to Israel. El is Elion, the Most High, which is Spirit. When he said the true worshipers will worship God in spirit and the truth, for God is spirit, God is energy.
Absolutely. I agree. I agree. And I think we're starting to get back in touch with ourselves. There's something too going way beyond the scripture of the Bible, going way beyond that, Lemuria, Atlantis, lost civilizations. If you look at where Giza is today, and back up to Göbekli Tepe and some of the other megalithic structures around the world that predate everything else, that there was a grand intelligence that really knew what they were doing. This wasn't Stone Age man running around foraging for seeds in the dirt. These were intelligent civilizations that had government, that had possible religions, that were looking to the stars and maybe getting information from somewhere else that was handed down. But Moses, listen, I've got a ton of phone calls.
I know you do, but I have so much a picture speaks a thousand words, and the writing is on the wall. And I've been led to a whole lot of hieroglyphics and pictures that kind of answer the question. And I would like for you to see if you can get my information, and we can get in contact with each other.
You can absolutely do that. Jimmy at JimmyChurchRadio.com right now. Write me. Okay? And you can go to my website and hit me there, too, as well. It's very easy, Moses.
Thank you, brother, so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Moses. That is a great phone call right there. And that's what we are doing tonight. I got time for one more before the break. Let's go to Gary in Santa Maria, California. Wildcard Gary, welcome to Coast AM.
Hi, Jimmy. Your audience is going to know me a little bit better than you do, but I'll try and be concise here. I've been working with astrology and artificial intelligent programming since the early mid-80s to mid-90s with American Express, and also voter registration rolls and TRW credit reports, putting profiles together. I also had a godfather who is deputy chief of LAPD, Ron Frankel. You can look him up on Google. He opened up some doors with me. It's amazing what access you can get to private data if you've got a backup that's deputy chief of police.
Yeah, I would say so. And Gary, really quick, we have about 1 minute.
Okay, astrology can be divided into 1,728 different profiles. The danger with a singularity is that I can take you, upload your intelligence, and then download it into Hitler's personality. Or take a cute little physicist and put the personality overlay of Betty Page or Miley Cyrus onto that intelligence, or Albert Einstein downloaded into Hitler. Once it's digitized, what makes you think you're going to keep the personality that you have now and somebody won't manipulate it?
That's exactly right. It's ones and zeros, Gary. It's ones and zeros. You can go in and change and code to your heart's content and also fix things, right? you can make things wrong. But you can also make things right. And that's why if we get to the singularity and we get to this point, which Ray Kurzweil says could happen as early as 2018, which kind of scares me. But if we are able to download consciousness, if we are actually able to do this, and I'm probably thinking we're a year or two away from this, or if we haven't done it already, we need to have conscious code police. There's going to have to be laws written to handle all of that. And those are the implications that we need to look into, is who are the code police and who is going to deal with all of this with the singularity in the very, very near future. And Gary, are you still there?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. And astrology is proven out. I've done millions and millions of charts, more than anybody can ever fathom, using the most sophisticated AI programming and supercomputers at the time. That supercomputer I was using in the early and mid-90s, guess what? Your cell phone is 200 times more powerful than it was.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Gary. Thank you for the phone call. This is Coast to Coast AM. Jimmy Church sitting in for George Norrie, taking your calls all night long. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'll be right back. I gotta tell you, this is late night radio at its finest. Open lines on a Friday night on Coast to Coast AM with all of you. And a little docking doesn't hurt. The tale of an evil clown named Wrinkles, said to be lurking in the city of Naples, Florida, has drawn national attention over the last couple of years. But in an attempt to find out who is behind this insanity, has added a new layer of intrigue to the tragedy that is Wrinkles right now, freaking people out. Right now, you can read about it. There's an article out by the Naples News. You can check out everything right now with some pretty crazy images of Wrinkles the Clown over at Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. We are taking your calls all night long. I want to know, gravity waves, is E.T. riding that here? Are we going to learn how to ride it back out in that direction? Let me tell you something. If we are looking to the stars, E.T. is doing the very same thing, and they've been doing it a lot longer than us. I want to hear from you right now. This is Coast to Coast AM. More of your calls when I come back. Stay with us. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, sitting in for George tonight. He's taking a well-deserved night off. He will be back on Monday. I'm taking your calls all night long. This is Late Night Talk Radio at its finest. It is Coast to Coast AM. Let's go to Wild Card Annie in Alabama. Annie, welcome to Coast AM.
Hey, Jimmy. Thank you for having me on. I've got some very strange things going on with my modem, my telephones, and all my computers. I've got every kind of computer and every kind of operating system you can imagine. I've tried just about every kind of internet connection.
Right.
Several years ago, it started when there was a red light on my phone that would light up in the middle of the night around 3 in the morning, and it would only do it when a vehicle was driving by. It was always the same vehicle that drove by. I could hear it.
Wait, Annie, let me jump in. Let me clarify a few things. Did you just say 3 a.m.?
Around 3 in the morning.
And did you say red light? And you said red light, and it was the same car that was driving by each time?
I could tell it was the same car.
Wow.
I know how to hear cars. I know a slant six when I hear one. The modem light on the phone. It's a red light on the phone. I didn't know what the light was, and I asked a lot of tech support people. They told me that's what it is.
Right.
Someone is trying to access your modem. Every time this same vehicle would drive by in the middle of the night, I got a call from a strange man in the middle of the night, and I felt like he knew something about it. So I decided to talk to him and see what I could pump out of him. And sure enough, he had loose lips. And I asked him what he thought, and he said, someone's trying to access your modem. And he gave me his opinion of why. He said they were after some information, a certain type of information. He said there were detectives involved, a man I never heard from in my whole life. And then I'll skip back up to now, right now. I use a hotspot.
Right.
It's a stone's throw from this house, and I've never had much problems with it. And lately, I was disconnected 1,000 times over 24 hours. I was at my computer for about 36 hours. 1,000 times I was disconnected, and I spent an average of 55 out of every 60 minutes attempting to reconnect. I would stay connected for something like 30 seconds. It comes in spells. Somebody's doing it.
Yeah, what do you think is going on, Annie? What do you think
Somebody
is happening?
Is behind it.
It's interesting. You should go out. This is what I would do. I would go out in your front yard. I would wait till 3 a.m. when that car comes by. Get the license number.
Man, it's hard to get a license number in the middle of the night in a moving vehicle. That's a moving target.
You take a picture. Take a picture, Annie. That's what I would do.
And it's, then I got this new LibreOffice. I got this new computer. It's got 7 Starter on it with LibreOffice Writer. And it's got also a WordPad. And this LibreOffice Writer freezes up when I want to indent in the middle of a paragraph. Due to paragraph overload, I'm going to make 2 paragraphs out of it, so I'm going to indent. It won't let you indent. Just take spells just in a certain spot. It'll do it, and then later on it'll let you. You can't use the backspace sometimes. It'll take a fit. Somebody's doing this. and then the other buttons, like the tab and the enter button, like if you want to...
Well, you know what's great? You know, this is the thing, Annie, and you know, you and I have talked a few times on the show, and you know what's great is that you have the internet and that you have the ability to go out and learn, and it's all right in front of you. And I've talked about that a few times tonight. And
I have to use a hotspot, you know.
What's that?
I have to use a hotspot because my dial-up is so slow, it loads one page every hour. And when I first got the dial-up, it loaded a page every 20 seconds. So somebody's deliberately slowed the dial-up down on me.
Yeah, that sounds...
I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's interesting. You should get a hard line on your modem and plug it in straight into your computer, and you'll be done with all of that. You should talk to somebody about that. Hey, Annie.
On the modem?
Annie, thank you for the phone call. All you got to do is remember what I just said. Hard line to the modem. And as somebody will know exactly what I'm talking about, Annie. Thank you for the phone call. Annie, are you still there? Okay. All right, Annie, let's go to Carl in Asheville, North Carolina, on the wild card line. Carl, welcome to Coast to Coast AM.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, Carl. What's up?
Well, I just kind of want to play devil's advocate a little bit out there.
Sure.
And I'm basically just doing about this gravity wave discovery because, and a lot of what I may say might go over some people's heads, but there's people out there that understand what I'm talking about, so that's who I'm really appealing to, like the next Einstein out there somewhere. There's probably some Big Bang Theory nerd somewhere.
It could be you, Carl. You never know.
Well, no, it's not me. They're a lot smarter than I am. But what I'm saying is, first off, this has not been confirmed yet. And even the people that claim it admit that it has to be sort of confirmed, and there's almost no way to also do an experiment to sort of replicate. I mean, it's one thing to observe a phenomenon, but in science, you have to sort of be able to replicate it. You see what I'm saying? Peer review things.
You're talking about LIGO and Caltech and the release of saying that they discovered it, but they haven't actually confirmed
it. Right, because, I mean, they're trying to, I mean, this is kind of, if you watch PBS, it's kind of what I call proof by animation, which has been sort of a plague of our time. You know, they put these, you know, animated CGI sequences, and like, oh wow, that must be what happened because I just saw it animated.
Right.
That doesn't mean it.
Right.
They don't really. I mean, even Stephen Hawking had to walk back this black hole thing, and whether these really are black holes hitting each other or dark energy or dark matter. I mean, this is some vague stuff. And what I'm getting at is, Einstein. If you read, Niels Bohr's arguments with him and things, it's almost as if he didn't understand his own theory. So there's a sort of cultish reverence for Einstein, which is kind of inappropriate in science. And what I'm saying is question some of this, right? There's no space-time. That's like saying there's a horse and there's a horn, so there must be a unicorn. They kind of, the Michelson-Morley experiment, again, I'm going to be jumping through quite a thing because I know time is of the essence with you on the radio, but the Michelson-Morley experiment was to see whether there was a medium or not, ether. And they didn't really show there wasn't an ether. They just changed the name of it and called it space-time. It's still a medium. The question was whether there's a medium or not. Secondly, the aspect experiment shows that there are non-local effects. In other
right.
words, that if that's true, Einstein's wrong.
Right.
And there could be things faster than light. And more importantly, for many of your listeners, if you really believe that there may be, aliens or UFOs, using anti-gravity, if they are doing that and they are UFOs within, then Einstein's completely wrong. They've never heard of Einstein. They're not using Einsteinian physics. Einsteinian physics, either there's aliens with anti-gravity, mechanisms, or Einstein's wrong, or Einstein's right and there's no aliens with UFO anti-gravity stuff. If what we can believe, Bob Lazar, et cetera, what they're telling us about how these things operate, because it's more of an electrogravitic type of device. This sort of thing about gravity waves and curved space-time, I've never really bought it, and there's a lot of arguments against it. In particular, Newton, and I'll finish up with this last statement. Newton, you know, invented the concept of mass and things like this. And that's what Einstein got rid of. Hey, there's no more mass, the equivalence principle, what have you. But then why did they need to find the Higgs boson? I mean, why suddenly we're back to mass? Because if we're back to mass, then Einstein's right. I mean, if light's been around the sun, that doesn't mean space-time's bending. It means that the photon's being pulled towards the sun with gravity. People will say, well, photon doesn't have mass. No, it, in equations, you don't give it mass. But it's a real thing. It has some kind of mass, some kind of charge, even if we can't detect it. So there's alternative explanations for things, like the redshift. You know, that could be just electrons losing energy and dropping a shell and giving off a red. You know, do you see what I'm saying?
I do. And
there, question these things. There's another Einstein out there that kind of like Einstein.
yes.
Improved on Newton. We've got to improve on Einstein.
And right.
It's more political thing where it's connected to kind of Israel and his role in putting Israel there and this propaganda that we have to prop up Einstein as some kind of cultish figure like Moses or something. I mean, he's just wrong about a lot of things. The cosmological constant and stuff like this.
So check this out. It's really interesting. All of the statements that you have just made can all be summed up in one concept. And that is, when you have light based on photons, right? Makes sense, right? Do photons have mass or not? We can argue about that all day long, but they are something, correct? Yes.
Right,
but hold on, Carl. Hold on. Let me help you out here. But when light passes through a prism, then it becomes a wave, and photons are not in play. So now what are we talking about here?
Oh, well, that's complementarity. That's all, you know, is it a wave, a particle? I mean, I'm not saying I know what the answer is.
I don't either. I'm saying that both are true, and that is well, hold on, Carl.
Can I make a quick point before you hang up on me?
No, I'm not going to hang up. I would never do that, man. I would never do that. That's what I was talking to Walter about earlier. It's the same complication when we start dealing with gravity. If we're dealing with gravity as a wave now, just like with light being a wave, right? And we have one example of light with photons and then light with a wave and passing through a prism. That gets confusing as to what we're actually dealing with here. So either gravity is a constant or now we're dealing with it as a wave. Then is it gravity anymore if it is a wave? Do you understand?
Well, what's interesting to me, what I'm trying to warn against is, in Galileo's time, he had to fight against the established opinion. In Einstein's time, he had to fight against the established opinion. And what I'm warning younger scientists out there, younger minds, physicists, is like this cult of Einstein, it's turned into almost a religion. And these experts that get on, you know, TV and tell you about all this stuff, it's almost like they're priests and cardinals of a religion trying to, like, they're so desperate to keep this alive and confirm it. Oh, look at this. We confirmed it. Even before they confirmed it, really, because technically they haven't proven or confirmed anything. They've just observed a phenomenon. You know, it could have been, you know, some, you know, there could be a number of explanations for it. So, but what I'm saying is the whole Einsteinian edifice, you know, no one used, you know, Einstein's equations to get to the moon. I mean, were the astronauts in there doing tensor calculus and stuff? I mean, I just get upset about it because, you know, they pretend like Einstein replaced Newton, but that's not true. Einstein's thoughts work on, you know, in one paradigm, Newton's works in another. Quantum is a whole different thing. And, you know, they don't really translate into one another. Nobody really replaced anybody. You just have to use what works for what particular situation you're in.
Carl, amazing phone call. And I want you to have a great, fantastic rest of your morning. Thank you so much, Carl.
Thank you so much, too.
Yeah, thank you. Great phone call. Let's go to Eric Wildcard out in Boise, Idaho. Eric, welcome to Coast to Coast AM.
Hey, Jimmy, how are you?
I'm doing great, Eric. How are you?
I'm really awesome. I just want to say I really like you. You're great. Excellent. You're an excellent host. What I wanted to talk about, just to kind of add to what the last caller was talking about, you know, there is an infinite abyss of intellectual words that can explain people into a chasm of darkness. Math goes on forever and ever and ever. It is knowledge. And for one to understand the depth of consciousness, see, consciousness is the non-physical. Now, to understand exactly what my words are meaning, we're communicating on the level of words are agreed definitions on ideas. Now they, a word can, it means a whole different thing to another person. So words are limitations. Now, the reason I'm talking about this is I'm trying to set up what I'm going to talk about. Society, for folks out there to understand what I'm saying, one must understand that society, words in and of themselves, and everything paints our perceptions on how we perceive reality. And what happens is when we get lost at the university in a stew of words and intellectual liberal arts and mathematics, meaningless mathematics that don't help humanity, what happens is we become lost. Now, they sent the Hubble telescope up to find this missing mass, because scientists, astrophysicists believe that all of space was one big solid mass that somehow went kaboom, the rock exploded. And they sent the Hubble telescope up to find this missing mass, because before it went up there, they said, well, 90% of the mass of the supposed universe, that they believed that all of space was a solid mass. So they sent the Hubble telescope up to find this missing mass, which they never found. In fact, they actually proved their, they didn't fan their ego. The scientists didn't fan their ego at all. In fact, their own device proved them wrong. And math and science and reality as we perceive it all relate to the divine. In corresponding mathematics and the way we bring together reality. So let's not let society's painted perceptions of reality distort what I'm going to say. Okay,
Eric, we have 1 minute left. So did you have a question?
I'm going to make it really quick. In the last 100 years, a vibration of consciousness opened up through bright minds. And many things happen. Now we have radio. Radio was kind of the beginning of consciousness and the planet being connected through communication. Now the next vibration of that is the internet. But I still love radio. Radio is the best, man. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is I could talk about a certain character.
Well, Eric, actually, we ran out of time. I was waiting for a question. Do you have anything? We have 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1.
God bless everybody.
Thank you, Eric. This is Coast to Coast AM. I have time for one more call. Let's try to squeeze something in. No, we don't. This is Coast to Coast AM. I am your host, Jimmy Church, sitting in for George Norrie tonight. He'll be back on Monday. We'll be getting to the rest of your phone calls right after this short break. Stay with us.